We'd open our Bibles to Psalm 125. As each day goes by, it seems I have less of a chance to complete these Psalms with you. But we'll try to get through it, or touch on as many as we can. We've been considering these Psalms of ascent, the Psalms of going up, as it were, to Jerusalem, the pilgrim Psalms. And we've come as far as 125. Those who trust in the Lord, or they that trust in the Lord, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. The scepter of the wicked shall not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. I think I gave you a title for this psalm. Did you write it down in your book?
Yes.
What was it?
Security.
Security. Security. I was thinking a little bit about security. Do you know how many millions of dollars America has spent on security since 9/11? It's probably not only millions, it's probably in the billions. And we've endeavored to protect ourselves from an enemy. We've founded a new government agency, Homeland Security. What do they do? Still haven't figured it out. I shouldn't say that. And I personally have had a part in securing our bridges, making them less vulnerable to attack. But I'll tell you one thing, the only thing you buy when you try to secure something is time. Because if a person really wants to attack and get to a certain thing and do their work, they'll do it. Why? Because they're willing to risk their life or give their life for that. And so really all you buy is time. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. I don't know if we can get that picture of a mountain. I was out on the lake the other night and just looking at the mountains that surround Brant Lake. They're not very high mountains, but they're mountains nonetheless, especially when you try to climb them. Then you realize how high they are. But you know, ever since I've come to camp, and it's been a long time, those mountains haven't moved. Not one inch. They are in the same place every year. And I don't think I could try to move them. Maybe I could, but even if I tried, I don't think it would do any good. And the Bible says it's those that what? That trust in the Lord. Those that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. Now Mount Zion was a special mount. What was special about Mount Zion? Well, that was the place where Jerusalem was built, right? It was built on Mount Zion, and it really signifies or typifies the place where God dwells. The place where God reigns as king. Mount Zion. And it speaks of something that's fixed, that's steadfast, that's secure. You look at the mountains and I guess the thought also comes of of permanence. But the promise of permanence, of security, is to those that trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? There's a number of words that they tend to have the same kind of meaning. We believe, right? We say, I believe in God. And we also say, I have faith in God. And then we say, I trust in God, or I trust in the Lord. Now, they all kind of have a similar meaning, right? If you believe in someone, you put your confidence in them, or if you trust in someone, if you have faith in someone. But they all have a little bit different shade of meaning, a different thought behind them. And with trust, I think it's a matter of our hearts. We trust God. We've learned to put our trust in Him. It's not just some intellectual knowledge of Him, or even a belief that He is. But I've come to trust Him. I found Him to be trustworthy. With my heart, I've somehow come into a relationship with Him. You know, we trust our BFFs, don't we? What's that? We answered that already, Mom. Best friend forever. Write it down. You know, my mom has a cell phone, but she doesn't text yet. She hasn't got to the text messaging yet. So we're working on that. It seems that we need to come into some type of relation with someone in order for us to trust them. Now, what have you trusted the Lord for? It says those who have put their trust. What have you trusted the Lord for? What's one thing that we trust the Lord for?
Salvation.
Forgiveness of sin. When you came to the Lord, sometimes we say, I believe that He died for me. But I've come to trust in Him as my Savior. He's my Savior. He took away my sins. He made me His very own. I can trust the One who died for me. And so I enter into that relationship with Him. I trust Him for salvation. What else do we trust the Lord for? What have you trusted the Lord for? James.
His grace.
His grace. So every day I can trust that He comes to me and gives me strength for today. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials at Pilgrim Camp. Mm-hmm. The things that come up in life, can I trust the Lord to keep me? In every situation? Can I trust Him when I have to go to a new school? Can I trust Him when I have to move or when I lose my job and I need to find a new job? Can I trust Him? We sing, oh, for grace to trust Him more. By Thy grace I'll trust Thee more. And in these various situations of life, we learn to trust the Lord. Now, what would be the opposite or something that would be different than trust? What other reaction or what other attitude could we have besides trusting God? What are some other things that come up? Could we worry about situations? Are there things, you know, I'm sure that many in America were shaken. You know, I go back to 9/11. Maybe you remember this too, the unity that was shown at that time, and it seemed maybe a few more people came to church even. Yeah. You know, a lot more for maybe 1 or 2 weeks or a month. Instead of trusting God, we can become anxious, we can become fearful. Some other people feel that they can trust in themselves. I can handle it. I can deal with the problems. But they don't have the promise of security. They don't have the promise that they will be as Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And so I believe as God brings us through different situations, we learn to trust Him. We learn to lean upon Him. We learn to prove His faithfulness. And there's a security that comes. God keeps us. He establishes us. There's a verse in Peter that says that the Lord will establish and strengthen and settle us. But the thing that goes before that is after He brings us through trials and difficulties and hard places, He establishes us and we find Him to be a faithful God that we can depend on. And so we're not moved. We're not moved by the things that life throws at us that come our way. We're established. We're fixed. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. How often my mom has quoted that. People will call with problems. You know, as pastors, the phone rings sometimes and the news isn't good. There's sorrow, there's loss, there's health issues, there's problems that are bigger than us. And what does mom say? I have a verse for you. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And she doesn't say that flippantly. That's not something that she just, you know, oh yes, that works. No, she's proven that. She's found that to be faithful. A God behind that word. Who I can put my trust in. And so God establishes us. He settles us. He strengthens us. He makes us secure. We're not moved. You know, sometimes as young people, or even as though we don't like to go home from camp. We don't like to leave camp. Why? Because we think we're going to go back and what's going to happen? We're going to fall, right? I'm going to go back into the way it was before. But God would like to establish us, beloved. And that's a promise. He says, all they that put their trust in God shall not be shaken. But then there's a double blessing. The security increases, so to speak. There's an added level of security. And what is that? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. Not only has He established you, but He's promised now to surround you. Mount Zion sits there in Judea, in Palestine. And it's on a mountain. But it's also surrounded by mountains. There's valleys that lead to other mountains. It was a very easy place to defend. I mentioned before that for many years the Israelites could not capture or defeat the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem. Why? Because that city was had a very strong defense. And so God uses that as a picture. The psalmist says, just as Jerusalem is surrounded by these mountains that protect it, so God encircles His people. He surrounds them. He is their protector. He is their keeper. Didn't we read that in Psalm 121? The Lord is my keeper. The Lord will preserve me from every evil, from every danger. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear Him to deliver him. Now, why am I speaking like this tonight? Well, I'd like us to realize that we have a God who is able to make us secure. Now, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. And we don't believe that you can't lose, as it were, your salvation. You know, the Lord has given you a free will. If you choose to walk away from God, you can do that. But if you've chosen to follow the Lord, then you need to believe that God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If you've said, Lord, I want to live for you, I give myself to you, I belong to you, well, then He has a responsibility to keep you. If you've put your trust in Him for salvation, then you can expect that He will keep you. And it's not for just a little while. It's not for 2 weeks after I come home from camp. It's not even for a month. What does it say? Now and for from henceforth and forevermore. The Lord has promised to keep you. And do we believe that? You know, we go through different, I don't want to say stages, but different times in life. Yeah, I was once, Mom said I was once 6. Do you believe that? Yeah, I was. You know, I was 6. But I also was 10, and I also was 12, I also was 15, I also was in high school. I also had friends, you know, I had friends, Caitlin, and they started doing things that I couldn't do. And I had to make a choice whether or not I was going to stay with those friends. And we grew up together, we did everything together, and you've heard me tell this before. But there came a time when I had to make a choice. And God gives us grace. And maybe we go alone for a while, but God brings other people into our lives, right? Better. He has the best for us. And so I went through that. I was in high school. I remember there was a few Christians. How do I know that? Because we had a Christian club. And there was like 2 of us. Is that a few? Or maybe there was more. Maybe there was 3 or 4. But I remember, you know, purpose in my heart. Well, Lord, I'm going to, whether it's me, it's just me and you, right? Because I had taken that step of baptism. And I have decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me. And God's by God's grace, He helped me. I would take my New Testament with me to school. And in the mornings, I would get there a little bit early. Brother Ralph Bacher was my chauffeur. What a wonderful story that is, too. He drove me to school every morning. He'd come around the block, honk the horn. I'd get in the car. The newspaper was there for me to read. And he took me to school 3 years. Brought me home again. I think I rode the train maybe 10 times. Well, maybe a little bit more. But wasn't that a blessing?
The teacher.
Well, yeah, he was a teacher at the school. Thank you, Mom. And he was head of the Christian club. Now I lost my train of thought. Thank you. Let's see. Yeah, I went to high school. I didn't get to college yet. So we would get to school a little bit early because he was a teacher, so he was there early. And I would just sit down on the steps outside of school and I'd pull out my New Testament and I'd read. And thank God He gave me the grace to do that. And He'll help you. He'll cause you to stand. And then I came, as our sister Esther said, through my teen years, like she did. I was here every summer. I counseled with Brother Tom. I stayed for the Labor Day retreats. I sat right where he's sitting. He's sitting in my seat. And God would speak to me. And I remember in college coming home, and one of my favorite songs was, Oh Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. I remember singing that, walking to college, walking to my school. And how that God made that real to me. What I'm trying to say is God will keep us. He's able to keep us. Now, does that mean that we never fall or we never sin? What do you think? No. But God is able to keep us and to cause His work to grow in our hearts. And we shouldn't feel like, well, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall. God is able to keep you from falling. He's able to strengthen, establish, settle you. And He surrounds you. It's His job to protect you. He will protect your soul. Not only physical protection, but the enemy of our souls, how he would like to bring you down, so to speak. But you have a God who's on your side to protect you, and He will keep you. I wanted to encourage you tonight. You know, the psalm goes on. Maybe I should just finish that a little bit. It talks there about the scepter of the wicked shall not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. And the idea, the thought there is that God's not going to allow the enemy to overcome you. Troubles will come. Troubles will come. It's inevitable. God doesn't promise you that your life will be trouble-free. But He promises that He will be there with you to bring you through. To bring you through. To bring you out. And although the enemy may seem to have his way, in the end, God will deliver. God will be faithful to you. Do good, it says there, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. The Lord sees our hearts. I talked a little bit the other morning about Daniel and how God, when the angel came to Daniel, he said, a man greatly beloved. God's favor was upon Daniel. Why? Because he had purposed in his heart to do good. He had purposed in his heart to live pure and holy before God. Do good, Lord, to those who are good. Peace be upon Israel. Do you remember what I gave you as a definition for peace? Anybody? Did you write it down? Do you remember? Nobody remembers? All right, let me give it again. It's that word shalom. Shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom. And that's the wholeness. That's with H. I mean W. W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S. Wholeness. That results from God's will being completed in us. The wholeness that results from God's will completed in us. That's what's in that word shalom. The commentary said it really, that word shalom, we really can't translate it very well by one word in English. You know, peace is maybe the best we can do. But it means that wholeness. God's will, that blessing that rests upon you. Because God's will is being done in your life. And there's just that peace. There's a deep, settled peace we sing in my soul. A deep, settled peace. Though the billows of sin near me roll, He abides. And He's working out His will in me. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. His will is being done in my life, and so I'm at peace. Peace be upon Israel. Have you put your trust in the Lord? Have you trusted Him for salvation? I think many of you have, if not all of us. We've trusted Him for salvation, to take our sins away. We've trusted Him to provide for us. We've trusted Him to keep us. And so let's not have the thought in our hearts that we're going to fall. But let's have the confidence that He'll keep me. We sing, keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. By thy power, every hour keep me true. Let God do his part. You put your trust in him. You allow him to have his way in your life. You yield to his working, to his leading. You ask him, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. In every decision I make, in every choice, let it not be my choice, but you have your way. I'm trusting you to lead me. I'm trusting you to keep me. And this promise is yours. Like Mount Zion that abides, that's not shaken. As Mount Zion that's surrounded by those mountains, so God is surrounding your life and keeping you wherever you go.